Now, it's a real personal pleasure for me to introduce our next guest. I mean that sincerely. A very good friend and business associate of mine, and frankly, the person who made it possible for us to meet here in these surroundings for this very special occasion. Mr. O.F. Stafford, president of Pilot Life Insurance Company. Now, I don't need to introduce Mrs. Stafford to as many of you probably. She's with us, but of course known by more of you, although I'm sure many of you have met Mr. Stafford as well. But I say very sincerely and without hesitation that I have the best boss in the country, and I don't mind saying that. I mean it from my heart. I don't mind saying it before my best friend, because I really can say that and mean it all the way. I have asked Mr. Stafford to bring you just a word of greeting from the company that I had the privilege of starting with in 1940. I won't tell you how old I was, but that's the year, too, that I accepted Christ as my personal Savior. It was a very unique experience for me that I entered the eternal life assurance career at the same time I entered the great life insurance career. And now, Mr. Stafford, for a word of greeting. Mr. Stafford.
Thank you very much, Dick. I do feel greatly honored that I have the privilege to welcome this fine group of people here on such a memorable occasion. If I look like I'm standing a little crooked, you'll understand it because of these things. Dick said he's going to record that. I don't think he started for me, but just on a chance that he might record my voice, I'm going to look into it. I heard a fellow say the other day he didn't like to talk into a microphone because he just like a spittoon. If he hit it, fine, but if he missed it, it's really a mess. Honestly, you have a most cordial welcome here at the Pilot. When Dick approached me about this, I said, Dick, you know we don't permit organized groups out to Pilot, which is true, because you have so many demands from worthy causes, a civic club, women's clubs, every type of organization wanting to meet out here, and while we'd like to have them, if we granted that privilege, why, we just wouldn't have any room for our own employees. And of course, this clubhouse is primarily for our employees. And I said, but Dick, I said, is Mr. Wilson going to be with you? He said, yep. I said, well, that'll disorganize any group. I'm glad he has a sense of humor. He's bound to have, because he looks to me exactly like he did the first time I ever saw him, and that must have been 30 years ago. I wished I could hold my age like that. But let me say on this matter of using our club any time that we can get a group who can honor a fine couple as we are honoring tonight, Mr. and Mrs. McKay, for 20 years of unselfish service to a community and who have done so much for the community, we can change any rules. But anyway, I hope you enjoy it here, and it's a real pleasure to have you. Thank you, Dick.
Thank you very much, Mr. Stafford. When Mr. and Ms. McKay first came to Greensboro 20 years ago, one of the most dedicated voices in song that they heard, I'm sure, was that of Alice Agin, who had sung for us many times. And I well remember, too, that he had a radio program every morning, just as Mr. Wilson previously before him had. And we used to be awakened in the morning with Alice Agin singing and Liv Atkinson accompanying her with these songs. And now we'll listen to Alice and Liv down at that end, if you will, please.
Thank you.
Alice and Liv, and many of the times I remember them getting up every morning and going down to the radio station and taking part with that theme song. Now, folks, I know tonight we would all like to have the privilege of standing up and individually expressing our deep appreciation for the tremendous blessing that Mr. and Mrs. McKay have been to us and have brought to each of us during these 20 years, but I know you can recognize that time just won't permit that. Your very presence here tonight in such large numbers and with such a grand spirit and a feeling for this occasion has spoken loudly enough, I believe, and we certainly appreciate your making every effort to come. You can just spend the rest of this month personally telling them how much you appreciate that. But representing all of us here tonight are a few men and women from the Tabernacle who have a few words to say about some of the major activities that the McKays have been involved in since coming into our midst. Each one, as he or she takes part, will introduce the person to follow them for the sake of time. We begin now by hearing from someone who represents the elders, our brother Joe Westmoreland. Joe?
When Dick first told me we'd have to condense this to 2 minutes, I did my best to get it into a 2-minute talk. Consequently, I had to write it down and type it. But I can say this, if you've ever tried to put 5 gallons of ice cream into a Dixie cup without breaking the Dixie cup, that's what I had to do. We had to write it down. We'll have to read it off because we can't give it the expression that it duly deserves. But to the elders of this assembly, Brother McKay means, first and foremost, we see him as a man of God, raised up and exercised to come to these parts, not only with the gospel message, but with the message as to how to gather and walk with other true believers separated unto our Lord Jesus Christ alone. Secondly, we see him as one on whom in times of difficult and trying circumstances we can lean on heavily, knowing from his ministry and walk that his help is based on experience in years of diligent study of the Word of God and in a daily walk and fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. One who is a guiding light, not only to this body of men, but to the entire assembly. One who, even though he has been more closely associated at times with this body of men, when carrying out spiritual and business responsibilities, continues to maintain this walk without showing any partiality or favoritism toward any one family, individual in this group, or in the assembly. One whose ministry is not only timely, instructive, and enlightening, but is set forth in dignity and gives a constant challenge for each hearer to study and to learn more for themselves. We trust that by the grace of God and in His mercy, that we who are benefiting so much from His ministry might carry out not only His wish for us, but also the commandment in the Word of God in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, which says, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." In other words, to put it in plain old everyday language, Brother McKay, we just think you're a nice fellow to have around, brother.
Thank you, brother.
Our next speaker, representing the deacons, Reed Sanford. And if you folks who are having a hard time straining your neck looking this way, why don't you just pick that chair up and turn it around this way, and you'll be much more comfortable and enjoy these talks back. Reed will give you just a minute to do that. Thank you, Dick. You know, it's not hard to say something good about a man who has unselfishly and faithfully devoted most of his adult life to the Lord's work and to those who needed his service. But it is difficult to say anything that would add one mite to such a person's stature. What can be said of such a person has been said by his life before others. However, on behalf of the deacons past and present, Brother McKay has always been an example to others in many ways. He has in years past carried on many of the duties of a deacon, not only ministering to the physical needs as led and guided by the Holy Spirit, but has been an example to other brethren aspiring to the office of a deacon. The word deacon simply means a servant. Even though a brother may not have held the office of a deacon for the record, he surely has, in every sense of the word, served as a deacon, and in so doing, served God and the local assembly. It is taught in the military service that in order to be an effective leader, one must be able to be led, must be able to carry out an order or instructions of others. If this is true in the military life, how much more this is true in our spiritual life? So Brother McKay has on many occasions taken the lesser place and pitched in and helped as others were leaving and ministering to the physical needs of the assembly in many, many ways, and in so doing, inspired others by his action. I don't know what scriptures that our brother may have been guided by as a young Christian after he was saved and molded his life, but one may have been from 1 Timothy 4:12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. And these things we believe our brother McKay has been. And now for a word from the ladies, Ms. Myrtle McClintock.
We're indeed grateful for this occasion when the ladies can express their appreciation to the McKays for the blessing that they've been in the work since they came to us in 1943. Ms. McKay, I'd like to speak for all the ladies when I say that your love and devotion to the Lord, as expressed in your life and testimony, has not only been an inspiration but a challenge to us all. We know that while the Lord will reward, yet we would like in some way to express our thanks for your faithful, untiring labors through the years in the many assembly activities wherever there was a need. In the nursery school, Sunday school, Bible school, ladies' activities, and just the many little things that came up from time to time that you fit so perfectly in. We remember the many times that you entertained workers and speakers in your home, the many visits to shut-ins and those that were sick and in distress, and certainly your faithful attendance to the services at the tabernacle. And we know too, Ms. McKay, that many of these things were done irrespective to your own personal feelings and circumstances and out of love to the Lord, and that he might receive the glory. We've seen and appreciated this. I know I express feelings other than my own when I say that your personal ministry of comfort and counsel and understanding has been a priceless one. In spite of your own busy schedule, your own problems, you had time for others, time to listen, and time to give a word of comfort and understanding. And in such a way that we knew it came from one who had experienced the Lord's grace and strength in their own heart. Truly, it was comforting with the comfort wherewith you were comforted, and the Lord blessed it. You know, they say that behind every great man, there's a woman. And while Ms. McKay is not in the position to contest this, and I'm not sure he would if he could, we couldn't miss this chance to praise you for the man you've made out of your husband. Seriously, your role as a wife and mother has been most exemplary and a blessing to not only those of us in like positions, but to everyone. The warm, loving expression of Christ's love in your life, Ms. McKay, has been felt by us all, and we feel far richer from having had you with us. And to you, Ms. McKay, if Mrs. McKay will allow, we'd like to express our love and our appreciation for the blessing that you've been through the years. Eternity alone will reveal the hearts that have been blessed and the lives changed, not just from the rich ministry from the platform that we've enjoyed all the time, but from your life among us and the individual help that you've given on so many occasions when there was a need. And then, in spite and at the expense of your own strength and time, we're not unmindful either of your continued and wholehearted interest and cooperation in all of the ladies' activities from time to time through the years. Just let us say in some way a very special thank you. And may we, the ladies of the tabernacle, assure you that our prayers are for the Lord's richest blessings on you both, your family, and for many years of continued service and fellowship together. Thank you.
It's always a pleasure to follow one of the ladies, because I was a little bit worried about whether I could get mine in 2 minutes. And when we follow the ladies, we don't have to worry about this. Thank you, Myrtle. All in kidding, I'm sure, Myrtle. Mr. McKay and Ms. McKay, it is really a privilege for me on this occasion, your 20th anniversary at the work of the Tabernacle, to be asked to say a few words on behalf of our Sunday school. As a newly elected Sunday school superintendent of only a few months, I have already felt the wisdom and the strength of your long years of experience in the Lord's work. You're never too busy to answer any questions that are put to you by myself or any of the other superintendents. You're never too busy to do anything you can to make our Sunday school program more effective. Your participation in the Sunday school teachers' meetings and teachers' seminars have meant much to our Sunday school work. I do not feel that I should speak too long about what you mean to the Sunday school superintendents and teachers, but rather what you mean and have meant over the past 20 years to the Sunday school pupils. This I feel a little more familiar with, because as a teenage boy of only 15 when you came to Greensboro, I have been through the ranks of unsaved pupil to saved young adult, and now working with the Sunday school. When you first came to Greensboro, as I said, I was a pupil. I hesitate to call myself a student. As I have already stated, I was unsaved. And you can bet, Brother McKay, that your life and that of Mrs. McKay were watched very closely by myself, as well as many other Sunday school toughies, just waiting to see you make one wrong move so we could have something to say about it. We didn't find this mistake. Your clean life, your gift to present the clear gospel, your Christian enthusiasm caused each of us to sit up and take notice when you had something to say. This has been the feeling of many hundreds of boys and girls as they've come through our Sunday school over the past 20 years that you and Mrs. McKay have been with us. Because the boys and girls, Brother McKay, who think they know much more than any adult on any subject, the personal walk of a man or woman means much more than anything else in some cases. So this walk, and your walk, Mrs. McKay, plus the good, strong, simple, and yet the deep teaching of the Word of God has meant more than you will ever know to many hundreds of boys and girls. I was not saved while you were preaching, but I am very sure that the many seeds that were sown through your preaching and teaching during my Sunday school years probably had more bearing on my being saved than the special meetings held at the Tabernacle with our brother Ernest Woodhouse in 1954. Brother McKay, I've used mostly personal references tonight, and for this I apologize to the good people here. But I hear many people every now and then today who are grown and married and out in the business world, and do not even attend the assembly meetings, say they came to Sunday school at the Forest Avenue Tabernacle as boys and girls. And even though some of these are not saved today, they all say they will never forget the teaching of Mr. McKay and their Sunday school teachers at the Tabernacle. Only eternity will reveal the work you and Mrs. McKay have done under the direction of the Lord in the Sunday school work here in Greensboro. So again, I say on behalf of the Sunday school, we all thank you both very much for your untiring work among us. And now Mr. Pete Alley has a few words.
I had mine written down on a piece of paper, but I was afraid I couldn't read it off in 2 minutes, so I just took a few notes on mine. So, Brother McKay, this is in behalf of the radio ministry. Brother McKay has reminded us lately that he has been with us for 20 years, and you know, it doesn't seem like it. And ever since that he first come to Greensboro, he's had a radio program in Greensboro, and I'd like to know at this time how many remember the title for this program. Everybody remember the title for this program to begin with. Raise a hand. Well, the rest of you don't feel bad. I didn't remember it either. It was Morning Meditations. Morning Meditations, so I was reminded of. So this radio has gone on ever since. At the time that this radio program was going on at that time, the assembly was very small and was not able to carry on the program, so our brother McKay was not only concerned about the tabernacle and the Christians meeting there, but was concerned about the city of Greensboro as a whole. And so for a good long while, he financed this program himself, carried it on himself until the assembly was able to do so. And so this ministry has meant a whole lot to me. As it comes just before the worship service on Sunday morning, as many times that this program has prepared my heart for worship to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's meant a lot to me, the program has. And also, many of you know that my activities bring me in contact with many of these radio listeners, and I get first-hand reports from this radio program a lot of times, get a lot of good news concerning it, and it's been a blessing to not only me, but a lot of people in Greensboro. And I'm sure as the Word of God has gone out over the air and the Gospel has gone forth, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and how that He was buried, and how that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, many of those people have been reached and saved. Many of them have fulfilled Isaiah 55, 10 and 11. And many of them have been blessed with the gospel. And so, Brother McKay, you have not been able to sit before that microphone and look into the homes and see the people that's been blessed by this radio program, see all those who've been saved. But I feel that in a soon coming day, when our Lord Jesus comes back to the air to take us to be with Himself, that He probably will let you look in some of these homes and see the blessing that He has been able to bestow upon the people in Greensboro through this radio program. Also, when our brother Lester Wilson starts the expansion program over in Shannon Hills, I feel that God will use this program in a greater way in the future than He has in the past. And so, Brother McKay, many more fruitful years of service to the Lord.
Thank you, Brother Fish. Appreciate that. Thanks.
You know, I don't know whether that was a slip of the tongue or not, but it got Mr. Wilson a little excited over there, me too. But that's real good, mentioning him over Shannon Hills there, Pete. I'm sure that the crowd will be remembering that. Before our next speaker comes up, Lois Fitch is right here, but this letter just came in from the Vice President and General Manager of WBIG Radio Station. I thought it was very appropriate to read it. It's short. Dear Mr. McKay, we wish to join your many friends in the observance of your 20th anniversary with the Forest Avenue Tabernacle and to add our congratulations and best wishes. Our association has been a long one and one which we hope will continue for many years to come. The Forest Avenue Tabernacle program is one of our most outstanding religious presentations and has been heard on Sunday mornings by a large and appreciative audience. Listeners throughout the years have expressed their approval. We have it rated as well planned and very well produced, and we feel fortunate in being able to offer it to our Sunday morning listeners. Again, congratulations and the very best wishes of the entire staff of WBIG Radio Station. Alan Wanamaker, Vice President and General Manager. And now, Lois Fitch.
I'm going to prove to you that women can be brief. On behalf of the latest missionary groups, we would like to say to you, Mr. and Mrs. McKay, how much we appreciate your encouragement and constructive advice toward the furtherance of home and foreign missionary work. Our Christian love and appreciation can be summed up in these lines: all that is beautiful, all that is best, joy of activity, calmness of rest, health for life's pilgrimage, strength for its strife, sunshine to brighten the pathway of life, courage to trust though the skies be o'ercast, hope for the future born out of the past, love that is tender and friends that are true, This is our loving wish for you. And now, on behalf of the young people, Judy Cole. I was a little nervous about getting up here in front of all you people tonight, but I think it was because I was nervous on an empty stomach. And after this meal, I would like to say, in the words of our president, I will proceed with much vigor. We, the youth, wish to say, on this your 20th testimonial day, although our memory, and this is a fact, to the very beginning does not go back, it all began about 20 years back with Harold and Gertie and Stan and Jack. It was some years later that into their home the Lord brought Ronnie to be their own. H.D. McKay was a preacher, you see, and to Forest Avenue the Lord brought him to be, to teach and preach and lead in care to a whole flock of Christians who were living there. Within this flock there was just a few, so the young people they had weren't much of a crew. The McKays worked and they slaved and they toiled and tried, and slowly the flock began to rise. With Mr. McKay at work and Mrs. McKay at prayer, there soon was a change in the whole affair. With the Trinity, the McKays, and the Christians on fire, they carried on a work that will never tire. The young people grew and so did the flock, so by and by they added some blocks. For this little flock was bursting at the seams with babies and toddlers and parents and teens. Time has flown, 20 years in fact, the time that we can never call back. The young people now are an enormous crowd, and to Mr. McKay we say our thanks aloud. It is not very often you let us say, when the Lord brought you here it was a great day. Had it not been for you and your knowledge of all kind, this assembly would surely have fallen behind. You nurtured the kids and the things of the Lord, who now sit teaching their own children the sword. For each generation of youth, it is the same way, because they'll probably be parents themselves someday. The things you have done in this area and around have been an influence on this whole town. And although the Lord has a reward for you there, the youth say thanks for all you say.
Thank you very much for each one of you who could do that for us, and we want you to know that we want you to keep on, hold on to those papers that you've authored, and we'd like to pass them on to Mr. and Mrs. McKay, although this entire event is being put on tape so that we can present it to Mr. and Mrs. McKay just a little later on. Now, there are three people that I know would just love to be here with us tonight, but they're a long way off. But they're not unaffected by what has happened here in Greensboro. At this time, we'll hear from South Africa, first, I believe, California, then South Africa, and then Chicago, in that order. Curly?
Mr. and Mrs. McKay, I have a letter to read from Bob Bruton. Dear Mr. and Mrs. McKay, Jeannie and the boys and I wish to take this opportunity to join with each of you and the Christians in Greensboro celebrating your 20th year of service for the Lord among us. Ms. McKay, we feel that you fully filled the role of Christian, mother, wife, and companion perfectly. By your well-ordered life and constant encouragement to Brother McKay, we're sure that you have an unbelievable reward awaiting in heaven. To each of us, you've meant more than you'll ever know, simply by being an example wife. Many times in our lives already the question has arisen, would Mrs. McKay do this? Brother McKay, to us all is well as the Christians at the Tabernacle, undoubtedly thousands of others elsewhere, we can surely say that your life and ministry have been outstandingly effective. All that we are for the Lord today, and all that we ever hope to be in the future, we owe to a large measure to your love, your talents, your faithfulness, and your patience. We who have been trained in the Tabernacle are deeply aware that the Lord has given us an exceptional couple. We both are deeply grateful to each of you for all your help, both in public Bible ministry in private consultation with us in personal matters. Therefore, along with the Christians of the Tabernacle, we take our hats off to each of you for the roles you've played in molding our lives for the Lord in the past 20 years. May God continue to bless each of you in your varied ministries for many years to come. Your children in the Lord, Bob Bruton, Bob, Jeannie, and the boys.
Thank you.
Mr. and Ms. McKay, we have a cablegram here from Buss and Edna. He said three, but I think there's one, two, three, four from Africa that I'm sure, although the children wouldn't understand and know about, but I'm sure they endeared themselves to us while here. Dear Mr. and Ms. McKay, as those to whom Christ has become increasingly precious through your ministry, we join express to you both our love and good wishes and gratitude for your spiritual counsel. We assure you our prayers for your physical improvement and many more. And now Kay McClintock.
Thank you.
Dear Mrs. McKay, I have a letter from Betty Conrad in Chicago. Dear Mr. and Mrs. McKay, I have been thinking of how good the Lord was to send you all to Greensboro and of how much your ministry has meant to me personally as well as to hundreds of others. Mr. McKay, your teaching of the Book of Revelation on Sunday mornings years ago and your going through the great doctrines of the Bible one each Thursday night have remained with me all this time. In fact, evaluating, I would say that the things you taught us then and are still teaching all those who are privileged to be there now have done more to help me in my Christian life than any other experience I've ever had. The way you can weave in the practical lessons we should learn and at the same time teach us the doctrines we should know, it's just wonderful. And Mrs. McKay, your private counsel and friendship have meant so much. Perhaps I shouldn't write these things in a letter which may be read publicly, but I am deeply grateful and want you to know it. As you probably know, I've never made a big decision in life yet without feeling the necessity of coming to you for advice. I just wish it were possible to really say how much we do love you both in the Lord. Someday, when we all get home to glory, we can say things better. But until then, thanks so much for all you have meant to me in Him, Betty.
I think it's nice that those who have gone out into full-time service, more or less from their association at the Tabernacle, could join with us tonight and celebrating this anniversary. And now down at the other end of the building, if you will, a song by Tommy Douglas, one of our Sunday school scholars, has come up through our young people's work. And I guess he'll be accompanied by Miss Lucille Westbrook.
Amen.
Thank you very much, Tommy, Lucille. Now as we come down, we have one other phase of the program here before some have a few comments to make, but I always think of Mr. McKay and the fact that he's never been selfish while spending most of these 20 years with us in Greensboro. He's always been, when possible, available to go to other places to help, to Bible conferences, Bible camps, schools, and other assemblies. At this time, we have somewhat of a parade of letters of interest, if you will, from other men on the field right here in Piedmont, North Carolina, and we'll take just a few minutes to have some of the men to read these good wishes from some of the men on the field. First, to lead off, a letter from Welcome Detweiler. Harvey, will you come up? Harvey Shelley.
We're happy to read this letter to you, Mr. and Mrs. McKay, from Welcome Detweiler. Dear Mr. and Mrs. McKay, on this 20th anniversary of your address, being Greensboro, North Carolina, we join a multitude of Tar Heelers to extend hearty congratulations for passing a very strenuous endurance test. Only the great tribulation could be worse, and that will only last a scant 7 years. Healthy memory carries us back to 1944, when every Tom, Dick, Harry, and Welcome dropped in at the McKay Hotel, which was then located on Forest Avenue. In those medieval days, no warnings were given. We just punched on good-natured souls and called it good fellowship. How did you ever survive? When we survey the progress that God has granted during this score of years, we are called to bow in gratitude and praise. Only heaven's calculating machines can supply the correct number. Besides, we are persuaded that the far-reaching effects reach deep into the future. Remembering that Satan is ambitious to disturb the harmony of workers, we have added cause to praise the Lord for the years of perfect fellowship and understanding in the Piedmont Assembly, while at the same time preserving the autonomy of the local churches. We can voice the sentiments of the Durham Christians in saying that your ministry, both oral and written, has been a great factor in establishing believers and all the truths of God's Word. And our prayers are that in the next 20 years, God will grant a continuation of the same. If anyone can dig up any area in which you have failed, it would have to be that you didn't get Lester married.
Brother and Sister McKay, a letter from one, having just heard from the one who led me to the Lord, who began a work, and you who have carried on since he left off. I would like to read you a letter from Woody and Irma Murphy of Silas City. Dear Mr. and Ms. McKay, congratulations on your 20th anniversary in Greensboro. Truly, we have called to praise God for your bird fruitful work over the years. Your fellowship and ministry has proven a great blessing to us while living in Greensboro and at other places. Your personal counseling and pattern in life has been a tremendous help to us. The Lord has been good to us and given us a teacher with such an outstanding gift as yours. In sincerity, we want to send you our very best wishes. May the Lord, who is so faithful in all his ways, be pleased to give you many more fruitful years of service. Yours by his grace, Woody and Irma Murphy. And now a letter from Clarence Lowe by Chuck Poquette.
November 9, 1963. Dear Mr. and Mrs. McKay, on this special occasion, we wish to extend to you both our congratulations and best wishes. Your ministry during the past years has meant much to the Christians from all the assemblies in this area. May the Lord continue to richly bless you and others through you is our prayer. Sincerely, in his service, Clarence and Josephine Lowe. And now, Jack Hunt with another letter.
Okay, I'm sure that you'll forgive me if I mention just before I read this letter from Brother Tommy Steele, Sr., to Brother Wilson, that there's nothing at all unkind in the way of any remark about him, so he might have to enjoy this one without wondering what's going to happen next. Mr. and Mrs. H.G. McKay, my dear friends, I am happy indeed to be one of those to offer congratulations on the occasion of your 20th anniversary in Greensboro. I know from first-hand contact that the Lord has marvelously blessed your ministry in the Gate City and endeared you to the hearts of many there. Only eternity will reveal all that has been accomplished. To our wonderful Savior and Lord be the honor and the glory, which is, I know, as you would have it. You, Harold, have been of great inspiration and help to me personally. I have benefited greatly through knowing you during all the 20 years you have been at Greensboro. Always I have been an admirer. The word of counsel and encouragement I received from you had a great deal to do with my decision to cast my lot with the assemblies of the Lord's people 5 years ago. Your devoted and indebted friend, Tommy Steele, Sr.
Durham, North Carolina, 7th of November, 1963. This letter, when I first saw it, was written. It is now typed, and somebody's in type to write, brother. It says, Dear Harold, this should be plural, Harold. It must be most gratifying to be able to look back upon 20 years of service and see what God has wrought. You should especially rejoice because it means something indeed for a man to be so blessed of God as to last so long in one place and not have anybody against him. I feel that I speak as somewhat of an authority, inasmuch as a visiting preacher usually gets all the complaints, and in all my most enjoyable visits to Greensboro, I have never heard one directed towards you. However, in order to discourage the proclivity towards getting puffed up, we must not forget the possibility that they were simply afraid to complain.
Please turn cassette over.
Express my sincere gratitude for the blessing of your ministry, for the blessing your ministry has been in my own life and to the assemblies in this area in general. Your pointed and lucid presentations of doctrine have done much to strengthen us in our very weakest and most vulnerable spots. Your efforts to teach them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you have certainly borne fruit. Not the least is the radio broadcast, which is still my favorite of all the ones in the local level. Seeing that God has given us this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us, I sincerely trust that if it's God's will that the vessel may become just a little more broken as the days go by, it will be solely for the purpose that your treasure will shine all the brighter. May your next 20 years be even more fruitful than your first. Most affectionately, in our Lord Jesus Christ, Worth and Dorothy Ellis. Now followed by C.D. Cross.
Mr. and Ms. McKay, a letter from Preston Key. Dear brother and sister in Christ, I should take this opportunity on your 20th anniversary in Greensboro of expressing my appreciation for your efforts, not only in Greensboro, but also throughout this immediate area for our Lord Jesus Christ. Almost 17 years have rolled their course since I trusted Christ in Durham at the Gospel Center. And looking back over these years and remembering my relationship to you, I am deeply grateful to God. Your ministry through the years has greatly enriched my life and experience with our Lord. It has been a real privilege to sit under the sound of God's Word as you ministered it, to labor with you in various ways, and to enjoy fellowshipping with you through the years. Your encouragement to me personally by your devoted life and labor, your Christ-centered ministry, and in a practical way, is recalled with thankfulness to God. While deeply appreciative of your labor in the remainder of this area, it remains that in Greensboro can be read in all its clarity and completeness of life, of love for his own. During the last year, it has been my privilege to visit Greensboro on a number of occasions, and I have observed firsthand and also experienced something of the effects of your ministry there. The fruitfulness of one's efforts for God might well be measured in the perfections of those Christian virtues and graces so desired by our God in the hearts and lives of those ministered to. In Greensboro, one sees this in the attitudes, character, and considerateness of the saints and their love for our Lord and one another. My wife joins me in extending to you best wishes on your 20th anniversary in Greensboro, and our prayer is that under the good hand of God, as you continue your labors there in Greensboro, that the best days might still be ahead. Warmest Christian love, Preston and Katie Keith. And now another letter by Earl Stein.
Mr. and Mrs. McKay, I'd like to read this letter from Jean and Sue Hollingsworth. Pittsburgh Christian Home, Pittsburgh, North Carolina. Dear Brother McKay, we are very happy to add our testimony to the many others that will be given at the special meeting for you and your dear wife. Since coming to North Carolina over 11 years ago, we have had many contacts with you through the Pittsburgh Christian Home, where you have served as a trustee and then as a director since its beginning, and in a number of other places. As to the relationship we have enjoyed together through the home, we are grateful to the Lord for your wisdom and love, and for the gracious way you have helped to guide in the affairs of the work. This has been a great encouragement to us, and I am sure the Lord will remember this when the rewards are given out in that day. In our estimation, there are only a very few brethren that we know today who have the understanding of the word that you have, realizing how much you have acquired of the truth of the word in your lifetime has many times given us the desire to dig deeper. We do not believe that we have ever heard you preach or teach that we didn't receive a blessing. We have not had as close contact with Mrs. McKay as with you, but what you have been able to accomplish speaks well of her. We are sure she has been a real helpmeet, encouraging you continually along the way. It has been and will continue to be our daily prayer that our Lord will see fit to make it possible for you and Mrs. McKay to continue to be very active in his work for as many years to come, as we believe this is the deep desire of your hearts, and we need you so much. As a basis, we would like to use the words of 1 Thessalonians 1, 2, and 3 in making our final statement. We give thanks to God always for you and your dear wife, making mention of you in all our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and of labor of love and patience, of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father. The Lord richly bless you both. Sincerely in him, Gene and Sue Hollingsworth.
That concludes our letters of interest from the other workers, and I'd like to ask you all just to stand for a second, if you will. Everybody stand up. Now there's a big crowd here, and there may be others, so we won't do this as loud as we normally, but let's just real softly, sweetly, sing that favorite little chorus of ours, "Thank You, Jesus, for all you've done." I believe it's appropriate. Very softly now together, everyone. Thank you, Jesus, for all you've done. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for victory's won. Oh, thank you, Lord, for thy love and tender care, for thy word and answered prayer. Thank you, Jesus, for all you've done. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you very much. Be seated. Now, I'm sure we appreciate hearing from all those people. It took a little longer than I thought it might, but if you're not in too big of a hurry, this won't happen again for maybe 20 more years that we'll meet. I see Andy shaking his head back there, and no, really he didn't. He's been a great sport. And we do want to take this opportunity again, because I won't be able to later, to thank everyone who served on the committee tonight to line up such a program as this, including Mr. Stafford in arranging the plate, Andy for the meal, our own committee for the reservations, and your own wonderful support in coming and letting us know that you would be here. Now, I think it's a real tribute that we could have these next two people with us tonight. They're not going to speak too long. It'll be impossible almost for them not to, because I know they feel like it. But we will certainly enjoy hearing it this time from one whom I'm sure Mr. McKay shared some rich experiences with in the early days of his ministry. It could be downright humorous if Mr. Smith would tell us everything that happened, but I'm afraid he won't. But we are delighted to have W.G. Smith from Burlington, and I know they spent some years up in them bar hills of West Virginia and Virginia together. Mr. Smith, would you come to the mic and have say whatever you have on your heart? W.G. Smith, let's give him a good hand as he comes.
Something that I hesitate to say. I was in the Moody Church one time, and the one giving the message said that usually preachers say, "I'm glad to be here." And he, judging their motive, said that they say that because they're going to hear their own voice. Now, I'm going to trust you not to judge my motive similarly, but I'm going to say, and I could say it a dozen times, that I'm glad to be here. It's more than 20 years since Mr. McKay and I first met, and we had just been in West Virginia a comparatively short time, or just a few weeks. I had put up a tent. The tenth season was now over. It may have been about 2 or 3 months of that. I should have written out this speech really
a little
nearer. I thought it was coming back at me. And I'd had a pretty tough time having pitched the tent, and there wasn't anyone that I knew in the city. But we soon got to know a few of the wildest people in West Virginia. And there wasn't anyone to help to keep them in order. So we took the tent down. While I was taking it down, a certain man came by who had been attending the meetings. And he said, "What are you going to do next?" I said, "I don't know." He says, "There's a funeral tomorrow out the country, about 20 miles. Would you care to go to it?" I said, "Yes, I'll go to the funeral." So we went, and while there, arranged for a schoolhouse wherein to have meetings. And at that point, Mr. McKay came along. And it was really a great blessing to have him with us. And by the way, that preacher He had been preaching for quite a number of years, but he hadn't learned that he was still on the broad way, and he got saved. Anyway, we appreciated having Mr. McKay in every way because he was prepared as a young man. He hadn't got the great woman yet. But as a young man, he was prepared to put up with rather trying circumstances, no doubt. He didn't complain, but I know, living in the house with us, he had to listen to the screaming children. They were quite small, 1 3 years old and 1 6 weeks, I think, when he came. And he endured all that quite patiently. And we had nothing but real sweet fellowship. Sometimes it wasn't too easy getting to where we were having meetings, not at that schoolhouse that I've already mentioned, but there were other schoolhouses also which were used to advantage and where the Lord saved quite a number of souls. And I know I shouldn't go on. We could quite a little more. I suppose that was back about 1930. And the only time that we had a little controversy was when he made it known that the Lord had called him to go somewhere else. I felt a kind of rebellious. I was conscious that we couldn't get anyone that would fit as he did. However, it's well that he got the victory over my argument, and the Lord led him first of all to Bristol, and that was the first step, no doubt, toward where he is now. So after listening to all those testimonies tonight, I just once more felt ashamed that I didn't fall right in line with his suggestion to leave us. In one way, you couldn't blame me. In another way, I ought to have read that verse in 1 Corinthians. It was in our reading, I think, this morning at home. Not that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy. But it didn't dawn on me like that. I've had to repent over and over again of having even suggested that he might have been out of the mind of the Lord. But of course, the Christian life is made up of forgiving one another. And that's why you've had such unity in Greenville.
Good.
Oh, I'd like to go on a while, Dick.
But I know you would.
I think be kind.
Tell you, you've got to start it thinking. Now we're going to have you over to Greensboro some night for a whole hour of that. I'm sure it'd be very enlightening. I wish we did have more time, Mr. Smith. I apologize that we can't, but I certainly appreciate all of us do your training, Mr. McKay, so well in those mountains, I know. And now, Nell and Boyd Everhart will come up for a very important part on this program. Two of our faithful Christians been there a long time. We'll ask them if they'll come up at this time. Nell and Boyd Everhart.
Mrs. McKay.
Okay.
Mrs. McKay, it is indeed a wonderful privilege tonight to present to you, on behalf of the Christians, as a token of our love and appreciation for your work and labor of love which you have rendered in the name of our Lord, this beautiful Hamilton Roof Club. You will find this inscription on the back. To Gertie McKay from Greensboro Assembly, 20 years of service, November the 13th, 1963. May God bless you and grant you many more wonderful years that they might be used to His honor and to His glory. Thank you, Nell.
you already up, Brother McKay. There's no use of you sitting back. On behalf of the Christians that love you out here, we take this great pleasure in presenting you also with a Hamilton wristwatch.
Thank you very much for it, and thank all of you very much. Is this a stopwatch that will stop me? Or?
Never let it be said for what you don't know what time it is to stop.
Thank you. Well, thank you very much. Boy. That's wonderful.
Read on the back.
Engraved on the back, Harold McKay, 20 years of service, Forest Avenue Tabernacle.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
If you're wondering why we're rushing along at this point, not giving Mr. McKay a chance to say very much, I know that it's a little late, but we cannot miss our next speaker. But at this time, Mr. Stafford wanted another minute, and I'm going to call him back to the mic. I don't know what's causing this feedback, but I'll try to improve. Mr. Stafford.
Thank you, Dick. You know, for many years, I've had the pleasure of making awards primarily to agents of our organization, and also to the sports world for certain accomplishments, none of which, of course, would compare with the dedicated religious accomplishments of our two guests here tonight. And I feel like that I'd like to make a gift along spiritual lines of accomplishment rather than material. And so on behalf of the pilot, to Mr. and Mrs. McKay, I'd like to give a little token of our appreciation for their dedicated service to the religious welfare of the people in the Greensboro area. To Mr. and Mrs. McKay.
We'll go ahead while you get that thing all see it right at the close. I'm happy to announce at this point that our next speaker is going to be with us tomorrow night. Now, that's a good way of saying to him that he's got to cut his sermon short tonight. But he is going to be with us tomorrow night. That's a real thrill to those of you who've known him for so many years. And I hope that you will be out at the Tabernacle at the usual time to hear it. As we draw our program to a close, it does give me far more pleasure to present our next speaker than I could ever tell you. In fact, it would be impossible, seriously, to say all that I'd like to about him, for if we got started, we could easily turn this occasion into a second testimonial dinner. I see you all wanting to see that clock. Well, it's all right. It's engraved to Mr. and Ms. McKay as a gift from Mr. Stafford and the pilot. Hope you enjoy it many times. Okay. Now we'll go ahead and I'll let you talk later if there's any time left. I'm sure, though, Mr. McKay, Mr. Wilson, rather, understands our purpose here tonight. And for that reason, I'm sure he appreciates the privilege of having a few words to say on Mr. McKay's behalf. We certainly appreciate, Mr. Wilson, your driving up all the way from Albany, Georgia, to be here tonight. So many of these friends are your friends. So many of them have been won to the Lord through your ministry. And certainly we do appreciate your having started this assembly to begin with. Now I'm going to give it to you and let your conscience be your guide, is how much you tell us it is. A real joy. Let's welcome him back to North Carolina.
Thank you, Dick. I'm learning a lot of things tonight. I know one, to be brief, and therefore I'm going to delete from my message Dick's four plugs for pilot life that you're coming, such as the pencils and the little folder and the little soap pad and that little bag for the bones. So I'll leave those four plugs. Well, as for coming back to the Piedmont section, and that was a new one. That's one thing I learned tonight I didn't know before, coming back to that expansion effort that Brother... But I would say this, nothing would delight me more than to know that he was speaking in the Spirit. another thing I learned tonight, I'm not a great man. According to one of the ladies, that you have to be married to be great. That puts me along with the Apostle Paul, and that's likely why he said, I'm the least of all saints. He was thinking. There's one verse I think I'll leave with you tonight in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 17. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. Here you have double honor given to an elder, a teaching elder, and I'm sure Brother McKay more than fits the bill in that category. I might say that it's certainly indeed a pleasure to be up here tonight, and it was a delight to drive every mile of 500 up here and going back to be here on this occasion. Certainly it could have been a happier occasion had Brother McKay's health been better. But as I was coming along, I thought to myself, well, Harold's schedule's been cut in half, possibly down to one-third. But I would sooner have half of Brother McKay or one-third of him than the whole of a good many men I know. So I trust that we'll have the pleasure of enjoying what's left of them for many more years. One thing I know I'm confident of, in fact, I could say there are two things I'm confident of. One is my call south, and the other is Brother McKay's call to this area. First time I met Brother McKay was up in Ontario, a little conference, Lakeshore, not far from my home, and both of us lived within 40 miles of each other, and yet we never met until we came down south. First time I met Brother McKay, he was courting Gertie then. It was a Lakeshore conference. I don't think they even know this. But at the conference, someone said to me, that's Harold McKay from Golf. So I saw him. Of course, he didn't see anyone else at the conference but Gertie. So that was the first time I met Brother McKay. I think the second time was a few years later when he was living in Brother Smith's home in Huntington, West Virginia. And I dropped in at the home. Brother Smith was away, and so Harold and Gertie were living there for a little while during Brother and Sister Smith's absence. So that was the first time I met Harold and Gertie, formally. I think another time we were passing through on our way down and met again, and one other occasion. Now as to his coming to North Carolina, after we'd been 5 years in Winston-Salem, the Lord had blessed. We had just built the chapel over there and lovely work going. And one day the Lord said to me, I want you to go to Greensboro. It came just so audible, so forceful. Well, I thought, how can I go to Greensboro? I've got to work here. We just opened a new chapel and the work is thriving. And if I were to go to Greensboro, who would take over the work here in Winston-Salem? And a voice spoke just as clearly, go up and see Harold. Well, he was up at Marion at that time, Marion, Virginia. And I thought, well, Harold would be just the one to fit in here at Winston-Salem. If he'll come here, I will go to Greensboro. So after some prayer about it, a day or two later, I went up to Marion and knocked at the door. Harold opened the door and he saw me. He says, well, if I haven't been thinking of you the last 3 or 4 days, it's just yesterday I got the road map out and told Gertie it's about 150 miles over to Winston. I'm going over to see that work. I don't think he'd even opened the door yet. He was so surprised to see me standing there, but then he opened the door and I went in. So we had our conversation and I told him my mission. I said, Harold, the Lord has made it definite that I'm to go to Greensboro. I've been in Winston 5 years and the work is thriving and I couldn't begin to leave it. And the Lord made it plain to me that you were the one to come down there. At least it seemed clear to me that the Lord was so leading. So before we left that day, we arranged, after our conversation, that Brother McKay come down for a week of meetings in Winston-Salem. When he came down, I think, the following week, following Sunday,
And on Monday morning, he didn't wait till the week was out. Monday morning, we were out looking for a house. I think he enjoyed the weekend so well. And ended up with the house right next to the chapel being available. So Brother McKay and Gertie moved in next to the chapel. So that meant that I came over to Greensboro, and I'm not going to get into that because that would take a long time. So that's how Brother McKay came down to the Piedmont. As I say, I'm definite about one thing in my life, that the Lord led me south. And I'm definite about a second thing, that he led Brother McKay down to this area also. We have labored as brothers. We've been more like brothers in that relationship. Of course, we have one or two little differences at times, what brothers don't. But nevertheless, it certainly hasn't in any way marred or in any way interfered with our love and respect for each other. And over the years, our little difference on one or two occasions is insignificant by comparison with the things we've agreed upon and labored as a team to establish in the Piedmont section. And so we praise God for that, and I think our affection for each other has deepened over the years. I might say this, however, he's more gracious than I am, and I think he's more patient than I am, and there's a reason. Married man, 3 children. And then I got another sidelight on that tonight, seeing he stayed in the home of Brother Smith for those screaming children. So that's why he's so patient and gracious. There's one thing I'm sorry Brother McKay has been disappointed about. He's looked forward to over the years. He's hoped for it. And finally, I think he's given up all hope, and that is of collecting a little fee from me at a wedding. I think he's about given up on that. And Brother Detwiler has remarked that Brother McKay had failed in that field. I can easily explain that. The Spirit didn't give him that ministry. So that's why he failed. If he tried, why he got out of his mind of the Spirit, if he tried to get me hooked up. Anyway, Brother McKay's ministry, although localized to a great extent to 4.5 years in Winston and 20 years in Greensboro, nevertheless, his counsel, his ministry, his influence has solidified the whole work in this area. And for that, we are grateful. Furthermore, he was able to go away on different occasions to help in other places in the United States. I said earlier, nothing would delight me more than to be able to come back to the Piedmont and to labor together in this area with him so we could see each other more often. But that's in the Lord's hands. If the Lord so leads, I'll be exceedingly happy to follow his lead. Otherwise, we'll have to postpone that. So it's something you might pray about. As to our little text here about honoring one with double honor, I say it's a delight, an honor to be present tonight and to give honor, double honor, to one who is deserving of everything that has been said about him here tonight, without exaggeration, Brother McKay.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, Mr. Wilson. And now, Mr. McKay, would you stand up a minute, please, sir? And with a watch, 2 watches, and a clock in front of you, and that's only a suggestion that you not talk too long, but we will give you a minute if you have anything you'd like to say. These folks have been patient to stay here. It lasted a little longer than I thought, but we couldn't have said as much as we wanted to, even in just this short time. We'd like to talk a lot more, but would you have something you'd want to say back at us? Just a second. Mr. McKay.
Well, thank you, Dick. I'll repay all of your kindness by being quite brief.
Yes,
I can't run
that's
this
not
thing.
Me. That's
all right.
Well, I say sincerely, this is certainly, I'm sure, the nicest thing that was ever done to us in our married life of 32 years, and I think in our entire life. And we thank you one and all for everything that you have done. It was a complete surprise to us how this many people could keep a secret like that. I'll never understand. What it was a complete surprise to us. We thought we were going out for a sort of a private dinner with some of our friends.
And we're quite delighted when we just learned this afternoon we're coming out to Pilot, because we always enjoy visiting out here, and the food is always superb and the surroundings are very delightful, and so we're just looking forward to a little quiet evening out here with some of our friends. But this has been wonderful, and we thank you one and all for your kindness. I don't think that if my wife and I had been asked, which I'm very thankful we were not, if we had been asked for something that we need and something that we could certainly use, I don't think we could suggest there's anything more appropriate than these two watches. Like ourselves, both of our watches are getting a little worn out. And even the shaking that we've been giving them hasn't helped too a great deal. So we thank you for those. And I'd just like to say this, friends. I appreciate everything that's been said. Looking back over these 20 years, I feel that I must indeed give the thanks and share at least some and the majority of the praise with at least four. There's been a verse coming to me, or an expression coming to me all the time while I'm sitting here. Having received help of God, we continue on to this present moment. And only by the mercy of God we've been able to do any of these things. Had it been left to ourselves, been an utter failure. I can assure you of that. And then I feel, too, that if we have been able to accomplish anything in these 20 years, when in your midst, we owe a great deal of it too to our brother and sister Smith. And it's an added pleasure to have them here tonight, because I appreciate Brother Smith's reticence in telling some of those things back then. I can assure you, I was a rough and ready somebody then, and it took a lot of patience and grace to put up with me. And just lately, I've been marveling at the patience that they manifested with me. I know I must have tried it quite frequently, but there were nothing but kindness to me and encouragement, and that was a big step down this way. And then, you know, if you're able to erect a building that is somewhat a worthy building, whether you think of it in the literal, the physical, the material area, or the spiritual, a great deal of that depends on the foundation. It would be a very discouraging thing to go ahead and put a lot of labor, a lot of expense into a building and then discover that the foundation was so poor that the whole thing was going to crash down at any time. And I say sincerely that the foundation that our brother Lester laid in Greensboro by the help of God was a solid, substantial, scriptural one. And those that had been saved under his ministry and were in the assembly to begin with, many of whom have continued this present time, they provide a nucleus around which it was comparatively easy to build. And so what has been done here in Greensboro in connection with the assembly, a great deal of it under God should be attributed to our brother who laid a good foundation and left some mighty fine converts behind here to work with. And then I'd like to say, too, that it would have just been impossible, friends, to have accomplished anything here without the wonderful cooperation that you've given. I speak from the depths of my heart, from those ones who were there at the beginning, that small nucleus, right on to the present time, the cooperation, the help, the sympathetic understanding has been wonderful. I don't believe that there's been any of the Lord's servants in America have had more wholehearted and devoted cooperation on the part of Christians than I have had here in Greensboro. And so I thank you for that from the depth of my heart. But even with all that, friends, frankly, and I say this also sincerely, I could not have done in your midst what apparently the Lord has enabled me to do if it had not have been for my wife. Now, I have had 100% cooperation in the home. My wife has never asked me, never suggested for one moment that I put her or the children or the family or anything else ahead of the work of the Lord. Rather, there has been encouragement at all times to put the Lord first. And that means a great deal. It would just have been impossible to have done what God has done through us here without her cooperation. And I do appreciate what you have said about my wife and what you've done for her. I appreciate that a great deal. But you know the kindest thing you've done tonight, friends, and with this I close, the kindest thing, the nicest thing that you have done for me has been to draw the veil of silence over my many mistakes. Oh, I've made a lot, you know that. And I know that. I wouldn't for a moment imagine, even in my inner thoughts, that I had been with you for 20 years without making a lot of mistakes, without failing time and time again. But you've been completely silent about that. And that was very kind of you. Thank you very, very much for everything. And thank you, Mr. Stafford, again, for having us out here surrounding them. I appreciate the clock, the watches, and your coming here. Thank you so much.
And now, Mr. and Ms. McKay, would you rise again, please? And Stan and Helen, would you stand? Jack and Betty and Ronnie. And will all of you stand, please? And let us sing together as we close, and then we'll close with a word of prayer. We do appreciate your being here, each one. You're the most wonderful group of people in the world. Let's sing softly, "Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts."
Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The
think the presence of all these your Christian friends tonight have been one great big "we love you both very much." Shall we close? And our Father, we thank you for being with us tonight. Thank you for being with us over all these years, from the beginning to the years with our brother Wilson, and through these 20 years with this most wonderful couple, these servants of thine. Thank you for what they've meant to us personally in our lives. And Father, we pray that it might be effective as we go forth now as witnesses, each one of us, that we may do a better job than we have to spread thy word all over this city, all over this state. We thank you for the people here tonight. We love every one of them. We thank you for their love toward these ones here in front of us tonight. And we pray that together it might yet be seen what we'll be able to accomplish with thyself. Dismiss us now with thy blessings, in the name which is above every name, Christ's name. Amen.